So I'm Teresa. I have been a member of the EA first cohort, which started in 2007. So I'm quite familiar with existential analysis. I've been through full training, and I'm also a member of the board. I'm a registered psychologist. I'm a mother of three, and I have many different jobs within all of those roles. So when we were deciding what to do for a topic this session, Alfred and I had a conversation, and I was like, well, I'll volunteer, I have lots to talk about. I said, but I'll have to have a baby with me. And we weren't sure if that was something we should do, so we mentioned it to the board and talked to other people about somebody else volunteering, and I hadn't even told Alfred really what my topic was. And it was interesting because he's like, well, I'm not sure about that. And then later when we came back to it, it actually, the topic I wanted to discuss was much around this. And knowing or trying to establish who I am now as a mother, as a psychologist, as so many different things, I really struggle a lot just around balancing things and just authentically trying to be so many different things and then not really knowing truly where that is inside. So that's kind of where this came from in that sense. And it actually is quite fitting now that I do have a baby on my lap because she's part of the topic.
Yeah.
And she's 4.5 months. And she's my third, so I have a 5-year-old, almost 6, and a 2-year-old. And that's a little bit about me and why I'm here today.
And this brings up the question, why are we here? Yeah. 3 children, and with each child, a change of identification, of identity, of new task. And who am I with this? This is what you announced you would like to talk about. So thank you for coming, and before we step in, I just want to say that you can ever stop, and if you don't feel at ease, then break it up. It is
okay. Yeah.
You're full in your position, and you can direct it. You must know that you're sure, and you don't exert any pressure or whatever, and have no other expectation than to hear what you like to say and what you want to say, and on what you want to work on.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, what is that what you would like to bring up?
I think it's a struggle around identity and balancing mother with work. So family and work, that balance. Because within that, there's always, it seems like no matter what I do, there's guilt or anxiety or am I disappointing someone? And that's hard because it seems like there's always some state of unsettled feeling no matter what I do. And I'm not sure how to resolve that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about time management.
Yeah. It's
so,
not
no.
Time
no,
yeah.
It's not about that.
So the theme, you bring up the theme which is occupying you, which you think over again and again, which you cannot resolve, which always brings up feelings of guilt and anxiety of disappointment of others. And I encounter this quite often. It seems to me that this is a typical feeling of a good mother, that there's guilt so close to their engagement, to their presence, to their commitment. And you are a good mother. You don't want to be separated from your children. Even now, you have it here, and you are mothering your child.
Yeah, I can't be away from her.
You can't be away from her.
No.
So you are sure in that person.
Well, I mean,
feel it.
This is why I can't be away.
There are technical help, wow. Yeah, but this is not what the way how you want to live it.
No. Mm-hmm. No, and she'll be able to start eating solids soon. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's still very, very hard. Even with my 6-year-old, he started kindergarten this year, and so now he's in school full time, and that's been, I think it's been harder on me than him. Mm.
And this is also a question where maybe feelings of unease may come up. How much is it allowed in the society to be mother and to be with the child in working situations, in such a situation?
Yeah.
We reflected it in advance, and you said, I can do it only if I'm not separated from my child, because this is something I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to have my child with me.
Yeah.
And is it possible to do that? How will, what will people think about it? And do they judge me? Or is it a new culture? Or is it more natural to do it, to live motherhood in that way? Or shouldn't that happen? Also question, am I guilty in front of an audience when I be myself, and I am myself as a mother when I have my child with me? Something we have. It is in that horizon of guilt, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there is, and it's even sometimes, because we can sort of talk about the bigger picture of motherhood, mm-hmm. and how it doesn't always feel accepted, even though we might speak about it as it should be accepted, and that's how it should be, and it doesn't always feel that way at all. And I've been sort of, I know that I have some power and I have privilege, especially in the context of work, and so I just bring the baby, you know, and I don't ask permission. Because I'm afraid that I'll be told no, and then therefore will be an issue. Mm-hmm. So I just sometimes just, I don't ask, and I just bring the baby. Mm-hmm. And I've done that with my other two as well, so she's not the first one that I've done that with. But I know that there are judgments around that, and now I don't know if I should care mm-hmm. about that. But it does affect me.
Yeah, the question arises, how much can I be myself, how much can I be mother in yeah. our society, in our public? I want to live it that way.
Yeah.
Is that permitted? Is that accepted? Will it be rejected? There's an anxiety, an insecurity.
There is, yeah.
Absolutely. So you are courageously standing behind yourself, you do it. You know, I don't even ask, because the answer may be no, and then it would be more difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so the theme which we are talking about is this bringing together family, motherhood, society, mm-hmm. and my own. And this situation is surrounded, or even sometimes penetrated, by guilt feelings,
yeah.
anxieties, and fear of disappointment. Is this a good description about your theme?
Yeah.
So, is it true that I understand it that way, that you are a bit more or less suffering from uneasy feelings, suffering from guilt which you cannot resolve?
Yeah. That's the hardest one, I'd say.
That's the hardest.
Yeah. In all directions. You know, so guilt when I leave my children. Guilt when I'm not doing enough for work. Guilt when, like, it's just, it seems to, like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That there's always some...
Always some guilt.
Yeah. And I don't like that.
You don't like that? But no. This is a persistent feeling.
Yes.
Do you have a cognitive resolution of that? Is it a cognitive problem? Or is it more a problem of, I cannot get rid of this feeling?
It's more I cannot get rid of this feeling because I don't think it's a justified feeling. I don't think I should feel guilty. And I often act like I don't. I can show that courage and, you know, just do it. And
so cognitively it's an irrational feeling because cognitively it's clear for you that you already felt way.
Yes, but I still feel the feeling.
But I still feel the feeling of guilt.
And anxiety sometimes.
And anxiety. Guilt and anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's not an adequate feeling of, as far as you can see it cognitively. It's not inadequate. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And all the thinking about it and pondering doesn't resolve the feeling.
Well, interesting that you asked, because I spoke with a friend today and said, just knowing that I'm doing this talk has actually, I've started to feel a little bit more confident in my decisions around taking her places and doing things and just trying to be with that. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a few weeks of trying to be that way. So it helped just even knowing I was coming to talk to you.
Yeah. Knowing that I'm taking time for it is already helpful.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Here we could enter into the in that process and after this description. This is your opinion too. We could come to that question, how is that for you? But we will go enter it in a concrete question about your feeling. Mm. When you look at this situation where you feel guilty, where you feel surrounded by guilt in all directions, you see, whatever I do, it is maybe not enough, not good enough, not adequate or not. I don't know how you would describe it, but it makes you guilty.
Yeah.
Is it the wrong thing that you do?
No, it's more like it feels like I can never give 100% of myself anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's always... Like I take her with me when I teach. And I have to always be attentive to her needs. But I'm also trying to be attentive to all the students' needs. And so I feel they are getting a different experience of me when I have a baby versus when I don't.
Mm.
Now, should I feel guilty about that? I don't know. I don't think so, but then again, sometimes it's hard in that sense. And I it's a course on social justice, so I feel justified in taking her with me. And also that's why I didn't ask in that particular place. I was like, well, of course on social justice, I shouldn't be oppressed because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
A working mother.
Yeah. It demonstrates how your situation is.
Yeah. Yes. So I have to always kind of be paying attention to her, right?
Yeah. So your attention is divided, constantly divided.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel in such situations? What are your feelings? Do you feel insecure, incompetent, or loaded, or challenged? What is your feeling?
Sometimes it's around I guess insecurity, like, am I going to be good enough, in a sense, the way I am?
Is it destabilizing you? Is it making you insecure? Or is it, do you feel a pressure on you?
I feel a pressure in the sense of, okay, this is where I want her to be able to be a baby. And if I have her with me in those situations, I feel pressure like she can't just be a baby. And that I have to manage her more or something. And it's not like I work full time or anything, but still. So then I feel like if she's disruptive, although that was about as disruptive as she gets, but then I feel like, oh no, is this like gonna affect people, and how is it gonna affect people? And then I feel like, am I gonna be judged? And then it just gets this really vicious cycle of thought.
Of thoughts, yeah.
And then it's changing. Have these thoughts, and it's all, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's where that insecurity comes, and then that's where, like, I don't want to be harming my children, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And you're in this vicious cycle of thoughts, and if you look at under the feelings underneath, if you don't concentrate on your thoughts right now, but on how you feel yourself when you are in these thoughts,
yeah.
When you are, when you see that I want to have her as a baby, and she can't simply be a baby when she's with me in work.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Well, there's that inadequacy or not. Inadequacy.
Inadequacy?
Yeah.
Is there a pain also? By empathizing her to her? Sadness?
Sometimes a little bit of sadness. But sadness in the sense of, more around, just the bigger picture of just always being so pulled in all different directions. And can I give enough to her, especially when I have two other children and all these other roles? So there's that sadness there, like being a third baby is very different than being a first.
Mm-hmm.
Is she gonna miss out on something? Is that kind of sadness?
She gonna miss something important.
Yeah.
Being the third, being with me in work, being sometimes tired. Are you ever tired?
A little bit, but not too bad. I'm lucky that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We sleep quite well.
Yeah. So we get a bit of these feelings. which are present in you and which you possibly did not observe so much because your thoughts
are running in circles.
Yeah. Circles and draw your attention. And then came up self-reproach, I shouldn't have these thoughts, and then insecurity comes, and you keep being trapped in these vicious circle thoughts and their consequences.
Yeah.
And again, if we can have another look at she helps you.
Yes, she
talking. Look at, wow, I'm so often in such a situation, like almost every day or every day I feel guilty. How do I feel when I'm in such situation? Like this situation is a typical one, I think. You talk, you think, you process, and at the same time you are breastfeeding, you have your child. How is it here in this moment? How do you feel? Torn apart maybe from the talk and from your baby?
I guess a little distracted. And I think that's what it is. I'm always a little distracted.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a little bit distracted.
And I wonder if that's what being a mother is like. Because even, you know, with my other two, like I always have my phone on vibrate. Like they're at home with their dad right now and going to bed. And so I know that they're okay. But when they're at school, my two-year-old goes to daycare 2 days and then my son's in school. I always have my phone beside me on vibrate just in case. You know, so I'm always, like they're always just so there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that it's hard, because where's me in that? You know, like that's part of the thing of like.
I think what you're saying now is something which matters you personally very much, which is really your personal difficulty and experience. It's so hard to be concentrated on something because I'm always open to the children, to family, and I must have some attention to the work and to what I do.
Yeah.
And I think you described perfectly the typical situation of a mother. As you said, this is a bit of being a mother. To have a feeling to what is going around, what is happening around, to feel with the others.
Yeah.
And this provokes you a feeling of inadequacy because I'm always distracted. I can never give my 100%. What would you like to do out of this feeling? I'm so distracted. I cannot give my 100%. I'm inadequate. What would you like to do if you could do it spontaneously without thinking? What is your impulse? What would you be happy or what would give you the relief?
I think just when that's just part of being a mother. How I did not know that before. I think that's just there forever in my life. And that almost brings tears. Well, it does bring tears, but in a good way. there it just...
Say, yeah, you identify
this
with your
just,
children.
Yeah.
They are always in my life and they will always form a very central part of my life. They are there forever.
And that's okay.
And I feel so connected. And that's
okay. Like I don't have to be super anything. And that is me. And that's okay. And I think it's okay. I think that part will be a bit of to get to, like, that's just and actually it's going to be more than okay.
In what sense?
Well, that
in that sense that it's not only a given, but it is also a wanted.
Yeah.
I stay behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean by more okay.
That's more okay. More than okay.
I can stand behind.
It's more than just acceptance.
Yeah.
It's integrated. Integrated. Interiorize, it's me. I intend it also. I want to be the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a moving moment. This is finding yourself in midst of this situation, which has its difficulties,
yeah.
Which throws you apart, which
can feel chaotic.
Chaotic,
yeah.
But this need is, does it mean to be a mother? Because I'm so related that I even don't want, that I don't feel what, that I wouldn't have this in the connection to the children, towards the children. I want to have the cell phone ready.
Yeah.
To be reachable.
Yeah.
This is me. And I want to be so. I want to be a mother.
And I don't need to feel guilty about it.
Yeah. And to be a mother with three young children, it's not possible to be present 100% to whatever I do, because I always have to be accessible.
Yeah.
Care in a caring attitude. You agree?
Yeah. In
a caring attitude to my beloved. And I asked you about, if you look at this being distracted, do you feel an impulse? Would you like to run away or to quit the job or to cry out or to shout to just step back and be resigned and depressive and say I cannot change it or whatever. No, you said my spontaneous, what comes up spontaneously within me is seems that we came to an end of this guilt feelings that do you think we did?
No, it's I think you saved me years of therapy. No, it it might seem like, I don't know, cliche or something, but it really, it seems like, and of course I've thought about this for years, so it's not like this is a new thing for me to think about, but I think being able to take a position and to want that, and almost to want to celebrate that, you know, to be able to make it socially acceptable that it's okay, it's, you know, children are with us. Mm-hmm. They're important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You appear so strong and clear now in that.
Yeah. And I feel more confident.
More confident. And it may be that way, because this belongs to Mother God.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely want to be. No doubt about that.
No doubt about it. It's no matter what I do, no matter where I am, what anything, I will always be a mother. Always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a psychologist right now, might not always do that. Right? I teach might not always be part of me.
But for the rest of your life, you remain a mother.
Always. And that, I think I needed to really...
And that's me. That's that. What I'm identifying with.
Yeah.
As we said at the beginning. What we identify with, this tells me who I am. I feel so strongly attracted to that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be me if I would deny my motherhood or not live it.
Yeah. And I know there's many other pieces of me that are all connected and with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the one I was trying to come into, I think.
But how do you know that you want to be that?
I feel it.
It's coming from the inside. This is what starts talking within you.
Yeah.
And how about the guilt now? Is there some rest of guilt? If you think of you being a mother and standing behind it and now accepting that not being always 100% present in what I do, because I am emotionally, with my feelings, with my connectedness, I am always connected with my beloved. This never stops. Now, in this new situation, you accept it as belonging to be a mother.
And I don't feel guilty about that.
And you don't feel guilty?
No.
You know, your guilt, you described it at the beginning, and you said, I feel guilty, and this feeling is not justified currently. But nevertheless, there was a feeling of guilt. And this feeling of guilt was there correctly, because it showed you something. It described you, your constant experience, that you are not always 100% present.
Mm-hmm.
That you are attentive to the needs of all the people who belong to you. And so this is a certain form of guilt. I am not fully present. And more than this, you describe that you are distracted. And you don't even know where am I in it, you say. And I feel inadequate. And your feeling of guilt told you, yeah, Teresa, look at it. Something is lacking. And you thought, and these were your things, your vicious circle thoughts, you thought that I should perform more, I should do more, I should be perfect. And now, yeah, and this feeling of guilt told you, and you should work on something, and your thoughts brought you in the wrong direction. But your feeling, connecting with your feeling underneath, this showed you, as feeling soon, how the situation is connected to my life. And I said, yeah, I'm distracted because I'm connected with my beloved. And I'm distracted because I'm a mother. And if I ask myself what movement comes up within me automatically, spontaneously, just opening myself towards myself, to what is going on within me. You were so quick in saying, that's me. That's part of being a mother, and this is what I want to be. And you were so touched and moved by this detection. In this you found yourself. So we couldn't do more steps in this method, because you were already there. You were already there at the first step. How is this for me? Mm-hmm. And this was what was the thing which was lacking, my feeling for me and the situation. You were distracted by your thoughts. And now you took your time, and you had a bit of hard time to come to your feeling. And you tried it once more, and then you reached it, you got there. And taking the feeling, along with the feeling, always comes an impulse, always comes this direction towards more or less, towards more closeness, or to go to a distance. You say, wow, I feel totally closeness to that. This is what I want to do. This was wonderful, very quick, in what the view of the method. But highly almost elaborated by yourself. You thought about it for years.
Yeah.
You
see? Yeah.
And so you could do it so quickly.
And don't I wish clients could?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In my opinion, this is, we did it, and you reached. You became a bit more yourself in this, and your feeling of guilt can go away, because you are there. And you will be distracted, and it's okay.
It's okay.
This is the news. Thank you very much. Maybe ask if there are questions. Would you be ready to answer some questions?
You need a good summary.
Comments or remarks?
And I just want to say, when you go to ask a question, there's a little round mic in front of you. If you just hit the bottom, it goes solid red. That way everyone can hear what your question is and we can get it on the phone. And then when you're done with your question, just hit it again and it will close off. Okay?
I think Teresa did it so well, and for me it was an interesting situation. I have so many patients, clients, who suffer from this, and some of them, not many of them, become depressive because of constant guilt. This is effort taking.
Mm-hmm.
And we encounter statistically that these depressions, these feelings of guilt, are more prevalent in women than in men. And this has to do also with this situation of being a mother. But this situation in itself is a great capacity. This is the capacity of motherhood. And it is a pity if it turns out to be a guilt. And when there is guilt, this may have such a reason, like Teresa told us that she wasn't aware that this belongs to her. And when there is no doubt of liking to be a mother, then of course the guilt feeling can be resolved easily. But when there are insecurities to be a mother, then we need much more work on this, of course. So situations are individual and different. Mm-hmm. So this was a good example, which in my seen from my experience is valuable for many women, and is very helpful for men to know how women function. They function with this continuous presence, relational presence of the person with whom they are related. This is not so obvious for men. Men don't have that. So much. A bit, of course, but women in general, or the female part in the human being, you must say, because men and women, this is just a biological differentiation. Psychologically, there's not so much difference. The female part in the human being is that part which keeps the relationship towards the close people, towards the beloved persons. Well, I think this was done so well and so impressive that we could close here for tonight. And thank you again, and thank you for coming, and I wish you a good pondering on this and a good keeping of an impression of what is possible to do, what is possible and what we can, how we can work on to become more ourselves and resolve problems which are occupying us, and they have a reason why they occupy us, and they need to be understood, and when they are understood, then they are resolvable. And this gives hope for similar situations. Yeah, there are now some questions. Here. So what was hindering you to come to this conclusion when you were thinking about your situation?
The it's okay part? Like coming to that, what was hindering me to accept that? I think a general perception in society of working mothers, and just knowing conversations of how people talk about it sometimes, knowing sometimes even when I tell people that I bring her with me, just you can tell there's sort of judgment there. And
my question is more related to, I believe you said you have training in this method of analysis.
Yeah.
So imagine you did that on your own at home, but I feel you didn't come to this conclusion.
Well, and I'm also a registered psychologist, so you'd think that.
So my question is, what do you think was here?
So you, in other words, you think a registered psychologist shouldn't have a problem.
Who's been through all of this training?
Well, it is a thought process.
You know, whenever I have issues come up in my life, I wonder why I can't solve them. With the amount of training I've had, you'd think I could solve my own problems. But it takes a lot, in a sense. Like, and I've done other work in PEA with different other issues and things. I think it took knowing that I was going to actually come have a session with Elfried, and now realizing myself, why didn't I go to therapy? You know, because I do dip in and out of therapy, and not really realizing how much it was hindering, I guess, because I've just been functioning and going and going and going, but yet always reflecting on it for many, many years. So I think a big thing of it was knowing that I was coming to this. So I have been kind of processing for quite a few weeks. And just reminding myself, actually, now, a good question. I need to, you know, visit therapy more often.
Mm-hmm. May I add a thought about it? In my thinking about it, could it be that you were trying to be best in everything, best as a mother, and so and by this attitude, it's a bit difficult to accept a level of 80%, 90%, and then it's not 100%, and you have been possibly used to always perform on 100%.
Yeah.
And so to step back from this
and acknowledge
and
that.
Acknowledge that would also be something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your question.
I'm happy you raised that point, because I'm wondering whether the animal seek if those were resolved or not.
I think by just being able to accept that this is just the way it is, that's going to help with the feelings of inadequacy, because this is the way it is and that's not going to change. And I think, again, acknowledging that it's okay to not be at 100% all the time.
Yeah, and it is valuable to be constantly connected to the beloved people.
Yeah.
I understood you that way, that you want to be connected.
I do,
connected.
Yeah.
Never disconnect.
Yeah. Because I'm not, like, I'm still, well, obviously, because I still get work.
It has a value.
And I also, because I do have a private practice, and I do take her with me as the therapist to private practice, and clients keep coming back. And even new clients, I always let them know, like, I have a small baby, I bring the baby to session, we can do an initial consult session to see if it works for you, and if it doesn't, I can refer you, I can, you know, all of those things, and people keep coming back, so I know I'm still performing, and I'm still doing okay, so I guess that helps too, just being able to acknowledge that. And it's also time limited, right? Like, I know that she's not going to be going with me all the time soon.
Mm-hmm. You have been next, and then you and something behind there, then we should start.
I'm actually not sure what to think of my work. I'll try to speak up. Thank you for the demonstration. I was wondering, Rita reached her resolution quite quickly, but I wonder how the demonstration would have unfolded had that not happened. Had she continued to be conflicted about her role?
Yeah. It could have happened that her impulse would have been that I want to go out, I would like to fly to Hawaii and to pass there night time and not, and so could like, you resolved it, you stood behind. But that an impulse is like deliberation or so. And then we would ask, but what is it what provokes these feelings? These feelings of distraction and this impulse of running away. And this content could be, for instance, that I always had hard time with not being perfect, and this is a situation where I cannot be perfect. And then We have to develop that deeper in PEA 2. We would then come to the next, to the coming to in a position. Would she understand why this is, or does she understand why this is so important for her to be perfect? What is she aiming with that? What is it? Is the value behind? Do you think you do yourself justice by always trying to be perfect? Is this what you really feel deep inside, in front of you, what is speaking up to you, that you, I really deeply want to be that way, and if I cannot be perfect, then I am a bad person, I am a failure, or so. And most normally, when people are asked after this deep inner voice of their conscience, their deep personality, they say, you know, I know it, or I like it to be, but deep inward, I feel this is not the correct, this is not what corresponds really to me. And then they have base, they touch base in the deepest point of their person, of their personhood. And then we can continue with understanding like social issues, which education which brought her to these high performance lifestyle. And the question finally at the end of positioning, out of this, is there a movement within you which tells you, I want to do something, I want to change something? And then it can be that they say, yes, I want to speak up with my mother who brought me to that and tell her, or I want to reflect it with her, or I want to just change my life and include more free time for myself, or to reduce my private practice or whatever, or have some help for the children to have more time for the private practice, or whatever comes up. And this is cannot be predicted. It is the own individual life. So this is an example how it normally works with people who are not so elaborated as Teresa is, and are not so quick. And we encounter more difficulties, which you obviously work through with yourself. It was just a little bit which was lacking. But normally people have difficulties like this. Thank you for this question, which shows us how it would look like if we had to do the whole process.
And I'm sure there will be more that comes from this, absolutely. Because it's a process. And so I'm sure as things, you know, even as my children grow, things will come up and shift and change. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. This can always happen. Now you don't have feelings of guilt. But it may be that in a couple of weeks, months, years, something comes up again. Children are grown or greater and so. And something may come up, because this is a constant process. Life is a constant process. We don't never have for sure what we have right now at hand. So as you say, there may be something like you certainly like, as I do, to be perfect. The older I grow, the more I know I will never reach it. But it would be nice. And so this may happen to you also. Okay. There was a question here.
I think someone was talking about how you sort of, you know, you're a therapist, and so how you have it, you know. It was really interesting because I was noticing in the beginning of the lecture we talked about dialogue, and it's interesting when we're not silent. So I just think that when we say something and we hear it back, or we hear a question, sometimes that's it was interesting to watch that dialogue go back and forth. I can't do that for myself. I'm pretty good with dialogue, but I can't do it for myself because I'm inside myself. And I think it was really interesting what you said when we are preoccupied or we're anxious about something, it's extremely difficult to offer that dialogue back to ourselves. So I thought that was really interesting. Another thing, it was almost like I almost saw like this physical relief in you when you said, I guess that's what a mom is, right?
And I felt like,
it was really interesting because, I don't know you at all, I don't know your background, but it's interesting how we have a perception of what a mother is, and there's a cultural sort of thing around that, right?
Yeah.
And so, and it's very much separate from bringing your baby into the boardroom or into the session. We have this idea, and it was really amazing to just notice the transition in you.
I felt it.
At that realization of like being a mom is being a mom, is being present in all these different roles, and it looks the way I say it looks.
Yeah.
So it's just really amazing to watch the transformation. That kind of energy that was like anxiety was relief. So.
And I felt that I could absolutely feel that almost on a spiritual level. Like it was more than just the words.
Yeah, it moved you somehow.
Yeah.
It really took
you.
Yeah. Which is very genuinely authentic, deep.
Yeah.
Mm. And the first part you said is a dialogue with another person is a very strong, effective tool. If the other person really listens and tries to understand and gives back the authentic question and what the other sees and perceives and feels, and this helps us to find our center again. But we can do it with ourselves also, and Teresa tried it, but it needed a bit an eccentric view on it from outside, that you could find the, like in playing golf, the hole in where it fits. Yeah. So auto dialogue is very helpful thing, but inner dialogue is also necessary. And she did inner dialogue while we talked, and then she said, that's it. This is what you did, not me. Thank you. Last question.
Thank you. I just have a question. It's more general in terms of how you see the small thing applied in different settings. So we saw today, a mother using existential aspirations from her role and role in society. But I'm wondering, I'm particularly interested to hear your recommendations on applying this model in different contexts within, say, a teenage boy's going through a lot of conflict surrounding his purpose, how he's going to define the rest of his life, who also has some access to traits, and maybe a recent suicide, something a little bit more, I guess, crisis-driven.
This is a big question, of course, the application of this model. It is applicable to all different forms of disorders. The main indicator, when there is, as a central indication, something not resolved or not understood. And this may be a teenage boy, let's say when the teenage boy is 13, we do it more playfully. When he or she is 17, we can talk with him in that way. And with a 70 years old man or woman, and with personality disorders or addiction or whatever, wherever we experience something not digested, unresolved, we can apply it. It is neutral in confront of a diagnosis. It is aiming to position oneself. It is stimulating personal resources, the resource of feeling and perceiving by feeling and perceiving and bringing ashore what is perceived unconsciously in it, in the first step. And then bringing ashore my inner answer, giving space to myself. It may be a depression, it may be an anxiety. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, if there is an unresolved conflict, problem, an event, an experience which is not understood and which forms like a knot in one's inner processing, then you may apply it. So this method is central for existential analysis because it is a phenomenological procedure. It gives space. It is a method which opens constantly space that the person can bring in specific capacities. PA zero, what happened? The specific capacity to perceive and to describe and to connect with reality. Cognitive capacity. But it becomes procession when we look at what is this perceived making within me? How is it affecting me? Because me as a person, I am a resonating being. What does it bring into resonance? And out of this, I can understand what reached me. And when I have it, what reached me, then I can try to find my personal answer to it. What am I saying to that? And this positioning of myself is also opening a space for the depth of myself, for this deep creativity, you must say, which is this force which says, this is you. And the same force says, this is not okay. Or this is as it is, and this is how I like it that it is. And this is how I identify. This is me. This is coming up from the inside. Tonight it was very quickly done, but normally this needs time. This may even need an hour of session to find that. Giving space which allows me to be more present and then bring me to the world, back to the world, to make me active, to look after the effects which are possible for me to do on this basis. And then we are really present. We can be really ourselves. And so this processual work helps us to restructure, to bind in the tremendous power of the spiritual capacity of being a person, which is speaking by itself, and which should not be repressed by expectations which we may give to ourselves, or by norms, or by social issues. All this has to be confronted with my inner self. We have to be in that dialogue with the outer world and with the inner world, but connect the inner world with the outer world. Normally we are occupied with the outer world, and we forget a bit the inner world, or we are insecure about the inner world. This inner resonance is as real as the outer world. It is as substantial as physics or chemistry or money or the nature around me. But normally we are not trained to take that. Nowadays we have much more ongoing in psychology on this, in this mindful thought and thinking. This is an old tradition in the Western part also. It We take it now from the Buddhism, but in the Western culture, this is the old phenomenological view, the old understanding of being a person. And what we do with this method is give it space. Give yourself time and space to for your attention to what is coming up in yourself. And don't devalue it, don't judge it. Before it's there, take it and look at it. And there is something valuable in it. Although it may disturb your plans, but this is the richer world. This is that what is really valuable and important to believe, because this is me, and we are in this world to be ourselves and not to be copies or to simply obey or to subject ourselves to the situation. We have to adapt to a certain degree, sure. We have to socialize, sure, but always being ourselves. And for not forgetting ourselves and for training ourselves. And this, for this was this evening, to become more myself and to have a tool and an idea how it can work, how I can apply it, and how it can work in therapy, in a dialogue. You can use that with your partner, with your friend also. This is very human, because it's the same process which happens all the time, with which we work, with which we live. It's nothing new, but it's a deeper understanding of what we are constantly doing. And this is so valuable, to apply what we already can in situations where we are not so, where we are a bit blocked, and so we can expand ourselves and be more ourselves and center ourselves. Thank you, Teresa, for coming. Thank you for being there, for being so attentive. I wish you a good evening. Thank you for the organization.